Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Nun Dalid. We left off on daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis. We are at Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Bira'a on the last line of the page of daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Adeline Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Alea Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian, for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives, as well as by Chani and J.J. Hornblass, in memory of Chani's father, Meir Penstein, Meir Yosef Ben Avram, whose yard site is tomorrow, and Shamashav and Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we started to discuss yesterday, or we continued to discuss yesterday, the concept of Kinyan Chazaka, and what types of activities, what types of actions that one takes on the karka are considered to be a kinyan chazaka. And specifically, that comes into play not only when a person is purchasing karka, but when a person is being kona bin nichsei hager. A ger dies and he doesn't have any relatives, so his karka becomes hefker. So if one wants to make a kinyan, they need to do a kinyan chazaka. So the daf is going to start with another example of a kinyan chazaka that one might do in nichsei hager. Then the Gemara is going to move on to four different cases where the same action may or may not be a kinyan depending on what your kavana is. And sometimes the details help us clarify what the person's kavana is in doing that action. That depending on what the kavana is, it may or may not be a kinyan. Then the Gemara is going to discuss certain stories that happened, episodes that happened of valid types of kinyan chazaka, invalid types of kinyan chazaka. A person does something that involves a lot of effort over a lot of time, and they think it's a kinyan, but it's not a kinyan at all, and someone comes in and just in a minute does something that actually is a valid kinyan, and that second person is the one that's actually entitled to the karka. So the Gemara is going to discuss valid and invalid forms of kinyan. Then Amud Beis, the entire Amud Beis is about the following. If a Nachri sells karka to a Yisrael, to a Jew, and payment was already made, so the Nachri has already released his rights to the karka once he's received payment, but the Jew is not actually kona until they do a kinyan. So in between, if payment was already made, but the Jew didn't actually do any kinyan on that karka, is it hefker? Can someone just go and take it? Can someone who's opportunistic wait for that moment where the money has changed hands, but the kinyan has not yet been made? Are the just go and do a kinyan chazaka and be kona it from hefker? So that's going to be the topic of Amud Beis. So let's begin on the bottom line of daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. So Haiman de shadu lifta be pili da'ara deger. If a person plants lefes, he plants turnips in the cracks in the ground that belong to a karka that belongs to a ger, and he's not the one that dug the holes in the ground. Normally when you plant something, you have to plow the ground first, and then you drop the seeds, and then you cover the seeds. So he didn't do any of that. He just dropped the seeds into cracks that were already there, and he didn't even cover the seeds afterwards with dirt after he had planted it. Because so the Rashbam writes, and therefore it's not considered that he was mashbiach the karka. The only way one is considered to have been mashbiach the karka, to have made some sort of positive impact on the karka, is if he plants and then he covers it. In the Adrama, he points out that even if he only covers the zra'im with afar, but he didn't plant it, he found it zarua and not mechusa, you would be kona, because he at least did a maisa on the karka itself. But dropping the seeds, which is the case the Gemara is talking about, is not even a maisa on the karka itself. You saw, said the seeds were already dropped, then you come along and you cover it, you're doing a maisa on the karka, that in fact would be a kinyan. Tosos Rid rejects the shita of the Rashbam. He says, he quotes the Rashbam that you're not kona because you were not mechasa the zra'im, and he says, so why do we talk about a case of zara binakaim? If the way the Tosos Rid interprets Rashbam is, even if you plowed it and you dropped the seeds, but if you were not mechasa the zra'im, you're not kona. So he says, so why would you pick a case where he's just dropping it in pre-existing cracks, even if he was if he dropped it in karka harusha that he was never mechase it, where it was already plowed ground and he was just never mechase it, it would be the same thing. So therefore, the Tosos Rid says that even though he was zoreya and he was mechase, But the point is, he wasn't choresh, that he was zareya without ever being choresh the karka. So even covering it afterwards with afar is not going to be a valid form of kinyan. So whatever the case is, the person didn't really do the whole process. Well, different shitas rishonim, which parts of the process he was missing. But the process involves plowing, dropping the seeds, covering the seeds. This person didn't do the whole process. In Nichse Ager. So La Avi Chazaka, it is not a valid Chazaka in terms of it's not a Kinyan on the Nichse Ager because he didn't do a real Tikkun on the Karka. The Ritva points out that we dafka talk about Lefes because Lefes grows very quickly. So the Hana'a that you're going to get from putting the seeds in the ground is pretty soon in coming. And Lefes can grow without actually covering it. So the chiddush, it's a double chiddush, that even though it's going to come soon, and it's going to happen, even though he didn't cover it with dirt, still it's not considered a valid kinyan. The Ritva quotes from Rabbeinu Shmuel that it's the derech to be zoreya lefes after the katzir, when the ground is cracked. Meaning another reason why we picked the example of lefes is that's the type of thing that you could put into the ground after the harvest. And after the harvest is when there are the most cracks in the ground. So that's when it's most likely that a person is going to find ground with a bunch of cracks in it where he could drop some seeds in. So maybe that's why we pick the example of lefes. But bottom line is, it is not a valid chazaka. My taima, why is the planting of the lefes not a valid chazaka? After all, it's going to grow. So it says, be'in the shada la vishivcha. At the time that you dropped the seeds in the ground, you were not mashpiach the karka. Hashtad the kashavach, now that it's grown, the karka has been mashbiach, mimele kashavach. That's considered to be something that happened on its own, and therefore you're not kona through that. Rashbam points out, and even if you are ochel the peros, it's still not a chazaka to be kona the karka, because it's being ochel peros is not no'al, it's not gadar, it's not paratz. No'al, gadar, paratz are the types of Kinyan, chazaka, this has nothing to do with it. It's not similar to Nal Gadar Aparat. You didn't do any eating the peros, is not doing something that on the karka itself. So if you didn't do an action on the karka itself, that is an invalid form of kinyan. Good, so that is the discussion that sort of closes up the conversation from yesterday about valid, invalid forms of kinyan chazaka. So now the Gemara is going to bring a number of different situations, I think it's four different situations, where the same action in the karka might be a kinyan or might not be a kinyan, depending on what the person's kavana was in doing that action. So Amar Shmuel, Hayman de Pashach Dikla. The first example, a person cuts off some branches from his dekel tree in order to make a chazaka on the karka. So adaita de Dikla, if he's cutting off those branches in order that the tree will grow better. Sometimes it's just too crowded with branches, so therefore it's not able to grow properly. So you have to weed it, you have to take out the extra branches. So Kani, then you've improved the tree, and therefore that is a perfectly valid form of kinyan chazaka on the karka. But adaita dechevasa. But if he's pulling off these branches in order to feed it to his animals, meaning he's not doing it because he wants to improve the tree, he's doing it because he just needs the branches, then lo kani. Then he's not going to be kona the dekel because he's not doing anything that's going to be mashpiach the dekel, even though the dekel is meshubach, even though it actually is helping the dekel tree grow, but that's not his kavana, and therefore it's not a chazaka. Even if he says, yeah, but I want to be kona the karka, so that's like walking in the shuk and saying, I want to be kona the karka. Das is not enough. You need to do das with a maisa kinyan. In order to be kona the karka, you need to do a maisa to be mashbiach the karka, and have kavana that's what you're doing. So somewhat of a chiddush, meaning one might have thought that look, he did the maisa and he has das to be kona. So what difference does it make whether the maisa was to improve the karka or not? He did the very maisa that he needed to do, and he had das to be kona. But that's what the Rishonim point out. That no, even though he wants to be kona, but his maisa was not al das to improve. It was al das to be kona and al das to get the branches, but it wasn't al das to improve the dekel tree, so mele it's not going to be a valid kinyan. One has to purposefully, mindfully improve the karka in order for the kinyan to be a valid kinyan. So says Gemara, hechidami, How are we going to know? Meaning we can't read people's minds. So how am I going to know? He's taking branches off the tree. How do I know whether he intends to feed his animals with it only, or his real intention was to improve the tree? But what's he supposed to do with these branches? So he fed them to his animals. How can you tell what his kavana, what his ikur kavana was? So shakal mehagisa mehagisa. If he takes branches evenly from both sides of the tree, well then adaita didikla. Once he's pruning it evenly, so then you see that he's trying to do something that's beneficial to the tree. But kula michargi, so if he yanks out all the branches dafka on one side of the tree, then adaita dechevasa. Then his das is only for his behemos, because he's ruining the tekel tree. He's not going to be kona the karka in such a way where he's pulling it off from one side. That's how the Rashbam says, that he's ruining the dekel tree. Tosos in Dibra Maschala Daita says, you don't have to go that far. It could be that he's being misakin the dekel, but you see that his das is not to be misakin, because if his das was to be misakin, he'd be misakin the entire dekel. Why would he only do the tikkun on one side of the tree? Elamai Taraya, that his das is not for the tikkun, even if practically he's actually achieving a tikkun. You don't have to say that, like the Rashbam says, that he's ruining the dekel tree. Okay, another situation where same action, different kavanas, might determine whether yes, a kinyan or not a kinyan. V'amar Shmuel, Hayman dezachi zikaya. A person who cleans out his field from any thorns and weeds, so he starts weeding the field. Sadaita da'ara, if it's to improve the karka, that it should be easier to plow the field, because there are no weeds in the field, obviously makes it easier to plow. So then kani, then he's kona the karka. But adaita tzivi, but if he's weeding the field because he wants the wood that he's taken out from the field, lo kani, that he's not kona the karka. Well, hey chidami, again, how am I going to know what his intention is? Whether he plans on, whether his ikur kavana is to improve the field, or his ikur kavana is to be able to get these pieces of wood. So shakal ravruvi vizutri, if he takes both the large and the small pieces of wood, adaita da'ara, then you know that his intention is to improve the land, and therefore he's going to be kona with that action. Shakal ravruvi v'shavak sutri, but if he only takes the big pieces and he leaves the small pieces there, then adaita tzivi. Then obviously he's trying to make a fire. He wants to use it for his fireplace, and the little pieces are of little use for him in the fireplace. So clearly he's just using it to collect the firewood, and therefore it would not be a valid form of kinyan. A third example that Shmuel brings, where the same action, different kavanas, will determine yes a kinyan, not a kinyan. Va'amar Shmuel, Hayman de itkil tikla. Someone who takes out whatever bumps there are in the karka, and he smooths out the karka, so there won't be higher places and lower places. And through that, it makes it easier to plow the ground. It's obviously easier for the plow to go through on even ground than it is if it's got to go up and down hills. So adaita da'ara, if he does it in order to make the karka better and make it easier to plow, kani, so good, that's a valid form of kinyan. Adaita tibedari, but if he wants to make a goren on the karka, he wants to make a place where he could thresh grain on the karka, lo kani, then he's not kona, because if the karka is meant for harisha, the fact that you're going to use the karka for a goren is not considered a kinyan in the karka, because then you're going to have to clear out that goren in order to do the harisha. So the fact that you're using it for a goren is actually mekalkal the karka, then it's not going to be mesake in the karka. So that's what the Rashbam points out. And what if you wanted to make a goren? Meaning, what if that was the purpose of you needed that karka because you needed a threshing floor? So says the Rashbam, if the point was to make a goren kavua, ein lecha chazaka gedola mizu, then that's the greatest chazaka. Then having das to make it a goren is exactly what you were doing, because then you were mishana the purpose of the karka, and when you repurpose the karka for something that's more beneficial to you, wonderful. So that's a real sign of ownership. That it used to be this kind of karka, now you're turning it into the kind of karka that's useful to you. So that's what the Rashbam writes in Dibra Maschil Debei Dari. Tosos, however, asks in Dibra Maschil Mulya, how can you know if his kavana is to leave it a goren for ba'ofen kavua, or if his kavana is just to make it a temporary goren? Meaning that much I can't read his mind. I'm going to know what his plan is for the future, Furthermore, what the Rashbam says that Beidari means a goren in the Hemshech Gemara, it sounds like you need more karka to be more even for Harisha than you do for a goren. But in Metzius we know that that's not true. The opposite is actually true in Metzius. The Metzius is that karka needs to be more even for a goren than it does for Harisha. So because of that, Tosla says it's very difficult to understand the Rashbam, to understand the Gemara the way the Rashbam is understanding the Gemara. And therefore Tosla says, no, Beidari means a place to keep your animals. So for such a tzorech, the karka doesn't have to be so even, just even enough that the animals don't trip over it and hurt themselves or anything like that. So that's what we're saying. You're not kona karka just by hamadas behemos. Tosos quotes, the Ritva rather quotes in the name of Tosos, that hamadas behemos is not considered a chash v'shimush, and that's why you're not kona. Tosos quotes from Ben Utam that since in a situation where there would be dash by using a certain type of kli eitz, a heavy kli eitz, you don't need the karka to be so even. That's why the Gemara cannot be understood like the Rashbam. So again, bottom line is the Rashbam understands that we're talking about you want to use the karka, that if you want to use the karka as a temporary goren, then it's not a valid kinyan. You want to use it as a permanent goren, then it is a valid kinyan, even if you're evening it out to make a goren. Tosla says, I can't imagine we're talking about a goren, because there's no way to read a person's mind to know whether he wants it to be a temporary goren or a permanent goren, and that's apparently going to make all the difference. And the mashmos of the Gemara is that if your intention is for Beidari, it's going to have to be more smooth, it's going to not have to be as smooth as if your intention is for Harisha, but a goren needs to be more smooth. And that's why Tosla says that no, that what we mean by Beidari over here is a place to keep your animals. But let's continue reading the Gemara, assuming like the Rashbam. So it says, Hechidami, how do I know if a person's intention in evening out the karka is for the sake of Harisha or is for the sake of making a goren over there? So Shakal Mul Yavishad Benatza, if you take some dirt from mounds, from tall mounds, and you throw it into the chafiros in the karka, into the ditches in the karka, and that's how you even out the karka, then Adaita Da'ara. Then you're making Adaita Da'ara. But Mulya Bamulya Benatza Benatza, Adaita Beidari. But if you're just taking the mounds and just sort of flattening them a little bit and spreading out the dirt in the immediate vicinity of the mounds, or you're taking the ditches and you're just sort of partially filling them in and evening it out a little bit without actually fully evening it out by taking all the dirt from the mounds and filling the ditches, then clearly your das is only to make a goren. And this is what Tosos is talking about, where the Gemara is pretty clear that it doesn't need to be as even for a goren, that if you're kind of evening it out, then it's a daita de beidari. But if you're really evening it out, you do a really good job, a careful job of evening it out, then it's we assume it's a daita dara, it's a daita de harisha. And then a final example that Shmuel gives us of the same activity. Sometimes yes a kinyan, sometimes not a kinyan, depending on a person's kavana. V'yamar Shmuel, Hayman de pasach maya ba'ara. Someone who opens up the fence of a field in order that water from the river will be able to come into the field. Sa'adayta ta'ara, if you're doing that for the land so that to be mashka the karka, to give it to water the field, it's your irrigation system. So kani, then you're kona the karka, you irrigated the field. But adayta ta'kavri, if the purpose was not to irrigate the field, the purpose was to get the fish that are going to come through in the river, meaning once the field drains of that water, it's going to leave fish behind, which happens sometimes if you have a river that that overflows. We remember with Hurricane Sandy when the Doxy Pond over here overflowed onto University Street, and then it receded, there were fish all over University Street. So you have like that, so a river's going to overflow and then it will recede and then you'll be left with the fish, and the person is interested in the fish. So lo kani, then you're not kona the karka, because the fish may be wonderful, but they're not shevach in the karka, they're not an improvement on the karka, and therefore it's not a valid kinyan of the karka. So says Mara Hechidami, how do I know what the guy's intention is? So pasach trei bavi chad ma'ayil v'chad mapik, if he opened up two openings, one for the water to come in and the other for the water to leave, then adaita tekavri, then clearly you see he's not only trying to get the water in the field, he's trying trying to drain the field so that he could then have the fish that are going to be left behind. And that's clearly his kavana. But chad bava, but if it's only one entrance way for the water to come in and the water is going to stay in the karka, even though it could be that some fish are going to be left behind as well, adaita da'ara. So then you assume that his primary intention is to be kona the karka. That's the understanding. The Achronim point out that the Rashbam writes over here that if your das were to be mashke the sada, you'd only open up one pesach, and the dagim would be nitzodimei aleihem. The dagim would be naturally trapped in the field anyway, even though your primary kavana would be for irrigation if it's only one opening. So the Achronim are bothered. Why does he have to add that detail that the dagim would be nitzodim? So he says because if the dagim wouldn't be, if you wouldn't end up with any fish by opening, by opening up the field, then even if it was shnei pesachim, you'd be kona, because the fact that you didn't open up one pesach is not because you're not interested in being mashke the field. It's because you want hashkayas hasada as well as the dagim. So meaning the point is that if by doing one, the Achronim point out, if by doing one opening you would only irrigate the field, whereas by doing two openings you'd irrigate the field and end up with fish. So it's not clear that by doing two openings you're saying I only want the fish. No, it could be you want to irrigate the field and you'd like the side benefit of having fish as well. So that's why the Rashbam points out, no, even one opening will give you the fish as a side benefit. It's just not the best way. One opening is the best way to irrigate the field, the second best way to get fish. Two openings is the best way to get fish, the second best way to irrigate the field. So if we're going to try to figure out your ikar kavana, let's see if the action that you're doing is going to be the best way to irrigate the field, or only the best way to get fish. Okay, so those are the four examples where a person could do the same activity, and depending on what his kavana is, it either will be a valid form of kinyan chazaka or not a valid form of kinyan chazaka. So Agmar tells him, a woman spent 13 years using a dekel tree of a ger who had died and had left no yarshim, and therefore she was trying to be kona, so she picked the branches all from one side of the tree and fed her animal those branches for 13 years. Also, some guy comes along. The Bach has a gir sahu gavra, which would be more consistent with the lashon of Shas. Typically, we normally don't say asahu. We normally say asahu gavra. So a guy comes along, rafak tu se porta, and he just digs a little bit under the dekel tree to be konit. 5 minutes, right? So he does charisha. So asal kamed Levi, and they came to Levi to figure out whose tree is it now. Vramila kamed Marukva. Some say that they went to Marukva in order to figure out whose tree it is. Ukme biyad. And Levi or Marukva, whoever it was they came to, said it's the machzik, it's the second guy that dug for 5 minutes and not the woman who spent 13 years pulling branches off of one side of the tree to feed her animals. The woman came, she started screaming, what's going on over here? So Amarlah, so Marukva, Levi or Marukva, whoever it was, said to her, Mayavlach, what do you want me to do for you? You didn't do a chazaka. Chazaka means that you're supposed to do something that's an improvement of the karka. You were pulling all of the branches only from one side of the tree, and that is not a valid kinyan chazaka, because it's clear that your kavana was for your animals and not for the improvement of the tree, which was what was that, the first example I think that Shmuel gave, right? That when the kavana is for your animals, not for the improvement of the tree, it's not a valid chazaka. The Adrama of your quotes from Rav Haigon that dafka benichse ager, you're not kona with achilas peros. The only way you're kona benichse ager is by a shvachas karka. But when you're kona nichse chavero, achilas peros for the sake of a kinyan works as well. Meaning that if a guy says lechazeku kni, and you go and you take the peros off of the tree, even though it's not an improvement of the karka, so that would still be a valid kinyan. So it's a big chiddush Rav Haigon is saying that even within the world of kinyan chazaka, the context of the kinyan matters also. That which will be a valid kinyan chazaka on a purchase will not be a valid kinyan chazaka on nichsei ager. The Yad Ramah disagrees with the Rav Haigon. He says, a kinyan chazaka is a kinyan chazaka. What difference does it make? Whether it's with a purchase or whether it's with whether you're being kona from hefker from nichsei ager. So now the Gemara brings another example of a chazaka. Amarav hatsar tzura b'nichsei ager. If a person makes a nice picture of a Rashbam says of a chaya or an oaf on nichsei ager, he's kona those nichsei ager. Meaning if once your tsar tzura. Yesterday we learned about that your sad besid and your kiur, where you make a nice where you make some sort of design or whatever, and we said it needs to be an amma by an amma keneged pesach. So over here you don't require an amma by an amma keneged pesach. That's siud and kiur, because over there it's just stam tzuros, but over here it's a more chashva tzura. That's why the Rashbam says of a chayo or an oaf, meaning previously it must have been flowers, you know, the tzura of flowers that you made or something like that. So I mean, it's not a chashva tzura, but a chashva tzura of a chayo or an oaf. So that's considered no matter how small and no matter where it's located in the house, even if it's not directly connected to Pesach, that's going to be a valid form of kinyan. So says Gemara, derav lo kani leginsa debe rav ela b'tzurasa. And you know how we know that Rav holds that's a valid form of kinyan? Because Rav did that. You know, when he was kona, the garden next to his base medrash, where he was zocha in that garden from nichsei ager, from a ger that had died, he did it by being mitzayer the wall of that garden with the tzura of an animal, of some nice creature. So Gemara quotes the din of kinyan in nichsei ager, and was mechadish that to be kona nichsei ager with the kinyan chazaka, you need to be rafik to se porta. You have to dig a little bit. So the Gemara discusses kinyan b'nichsei ager through digging. Itmar. Sada musuyemes b'mitzareha. If you have a field that belonged to a ger who had passed away, and it's marked off by the borders through having things that separate it from one from the fields that, from the surrounding fields, Amar Avunim Rav, kivin shikish b'makosh echad. Once you take one shovel, you know, in the ground, one chafira in one small location, Kanakula, you're kona the entire field because you see where the borders of the field are. I mean, the field is clearly defined, so I don't need to mark. I don't need to dig up the whole field in order to be kona. One shovel in the ground, we know what the field is. So I'm kona not just the place where I put the shovel in the ground. I'm kona the entirety of the field. Ushmol amar lo kona el makom makosha bilvad. And Shmuel says, no, you're only kona that one spot where you stuck the shovel in the ground, because a kinyan in a tiny portion of the field will work to be is not going to work to be kona the entire field unless you had paid for it. By nichsei ager, it's only going to work to be kona that tiny portion of the field. And if the field is not marked off by clear borders, it's by clear boundaries, it's just open to all the neighboring fields, or it's open to Rosh Hashanah, ad kama, how much do you need to dig in order to be kona the entire field according to Rav? According to Rav, meaning again, according to Shmuel, even in a field that is marked off by borders, you need to be make a kinyan on the entire thing. One little kinyan in the middle is not going to work. According to Rav, if it's marked off by borders, all you need to do is one little act. So according to Rav, what if it's not so clearly marked and it just is open right into the neighboring fields? Does one little act help? So Amar Rav Papa Kedalzo Taira Deshuri Vahadar. Now then you need to take your oxen and make one full row from one edge of the field to the other, from the east to the west of the field and back. Back from the west to the east, so it's two rows, al pnei kol asada, either the orach of the field or the rochav of the field, and through that you're kona the entire field. That, but it has to be a much more significant charisha. It's interesting. The poskim pay a little bit of attention to detail in this gemara that we probably would have just skipped over, and that is when it describes how Rav was kona b'nichsei ager. It says that he was that he yelled that you could be tzar tzura, but it's not something he said in the base medrash. It's something he did. Where did he do that? By the Ginsa de Bei Rav, by the garden that was next to the Bei Rav, that was next to the Beis Medrash. There is a discussion in Poskim whether you're allowed to plant trees right outside of a shul. Someone, Mamish, asked me the Shiloh last week. I don't know. It always works out that way. So I was just sitting with someone on Thursday. He said, are you allowed to plant trees outside of a shul? I'm like, well, they all do. So, right? But is there an issue with planting a tree? So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah that Hanoteya Eitz al Mizbeach, or in anywhere in the Azara, whether it be in Ilan Srak, whether it be in Ilan Machal, even though you did it for the Noi Migdash, you tried to make the Migdash look nicer by planting a tree in the base of Migdash, Hareza Loka, Shenemar, Losita Lucha Asheru Kaleitz, and Lizbach Hashem Alokecha. That is the derech of the Ovdei Kochavim to plant trees next to their Mizbeach, in order that people, it would be like a landmark that everyone will know where to come, that we meet next to that tree or whatever. So that was the derech of the Avodah Zarah. So Rav David Arman in Zagos on the Rambam, which is quoted by Kiveger on the Shulchan Aruch, says, and therefore, Midrabbanan, you're not allowed to plant trees outside of a Beis HaKnesses. If there's such a din by a Mikdash, so by a Mikdash Ma'at, the same din must also apply. In Tshuvas Bin Yitzion and the Netziv in Meshiv Davar, they disagree and they say, what are you talking about? There's no such din. It doesn't appear in Shas, it doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch. So you're going to take a din that applies to the Beis HaMikdash, that was Lositul Chayashayru Kaleitzes on Mizbach Hashem, and you're going to apply it to every Beis HaKnesses. He said, if that would be the case, you shouldn't be allowed to have any wood in a Beis HaKnesses. So every shul that has wooden tables and wooden chairs and wooden benches, meaning that's also in by the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach has to be Mizbeach Havanim, right? Because you're not supposed to have wood in the making of the... And I never noticed that all, other than the boards of the Mishkan, Ati Shita Momdim, but the actual Kelim of the Mikdash and the actual... it's all stones. Everything's stones and gold and silver. Where's all the wood? Well, you're not supposed to apparently have wood. So you're going to say such a thing? That's wild. So one of the rayas that they bring, the Tshuvas Marsham, says we see the Heter from our sugya. Because it mentions the Ginsta de Beirav, that he was Tsar Tzura. And the Rashbam writes that he had a Gina right next to his base medrash. A Stam Gina includes trees. So clearly, landscaping is something that you're allowed to have when it comes to a shul. So an interesting discussion. So I hadn't seen that discussion when the person asked me. So I guessed right. I said, I think you're allowed to. But okay. So says the Gemara further now. Now the rest of the daf is about this topic. A kinyan that a Nachri makes, if Nachri's kona with kesef. So when someone buying something from a Nachri gives him kesef, he now is misalik his bailus from that item. As soon as he receives money, he's no longer the bailum on the item. So what's going to be the din if a Nachri sells karka to Yisrael? The Yisrael gave him kesef, so the Nachri is misalik his bailus, but the Yisrael didn't do a kinyan yet. So is it now hefker that it's just free for the taking? Some Rabbi Yom HaShmuel nichsei ovid chavim. If you have nechassan that belonged to an ovid chavim who sold them to Yisrael and he received money for it, and but the Yisrael did not yet do a kinyan, harein kamidbar. It's like hefker. Kala machzik ben zach ben. Anyone who wants to make a kinyan in it, kezonteit, can go make a kinyan. My time, well, what's the reason for that? Because ovid chavim mikim matu zuzi liyadei, as soon as he gets the money in his hands, istalikley, he's mesalik his bailus from those nechassim, and he can't back out on the mechira anymore, because when it comes to a nachri, the kinyan kasef is enough. But Yisrael lo kani atem mati Yisrael liyadei. But a Jew is not kona until they write a shtar, at least in a place where the minig is to write a shtar hilchach, and therefore since the nachri has already given up his bailus, and the Yisrael has not yet achieved bailus, harein kamidbar v'kalamachzik ben zacha. Therefore, it becomes like a midbar and kalamachzik ben zacha. That's only when Yisrael is buying from a nachri. Yisrael that buys from another Yisrael, even if it's in a place where the minig is to write a shtar, another Yisrael cannot come along and grab it in the meantime, because the mocher hasn't given it up yet. Meaning the whole idea, and so the Rashbam points out, the whole idea that when money is received, the previous owner has given up ownership, is only when the previous owner is a Nachri. If the previous owner is a Yisrael, that doesn't work. The Ravid is quoted by the Rashi over here, is bothered by the following kasha. He says, I don't understand. Someone else is going to come along and just do a kinyan chazak and he's going to become the owner of their property. Even the first guy who gave the money is not going to be kona until he has a shtar, biyado. So the second guy, who didn't even give money, how's he going to be zocha without a shtar? I mean, why is it that the guy who's actually buying it, that the Yisrael is actually buying it, is not going to be kona until he has a shtar? Because it's a makom that the minig is that you write a shtar. And if that's the minig that you write a shtar, so then only that is going to be a valid form of kinyan. So some other party who didn't pay for it doesn't need a shtar. He's able to just swoop in and do a kinyan chazaka on it. So the Ravid suggests that the second guy is konu b'chazaka because that's his intention to do a kinyan chazaka. He never had an intention to be konu with a shtar because he's not choshesh that the nachri might back out, because even if he does back out, he doesn't lose anything because he never paid anything. As opposed to the first guy, it was choshesh that he's going to lose his money if the nachri backs out. So his das is totally becoming with the shtar. He needs evidence. So he's only intending to buy this property when he has evidence that it's going to be his property. And therefore, without the shtar, he's not Yakola. So it's somewhat ironic, says the Ravid. The guy himself was buying it with doing a Kenyan Chazaka is not going to be a valid form of Kenyan. But someone else, some other guy, is going to be able to do a Kenyan Chazaka, and he's going to become the owner of the property. So now Abaye challenges this din of Shmuel from another statement of Shmuel. Amalei Abaye the Rav Yosef. Mi Amar Shmuel Hachi? Does Shmuel really hold that someone who's machzik in the karka that an Ovid Chavmit sold, and not yet had a shtar for it, that you could be kona? V'amar Shmuel Dina D'malchusa Dina. Isn't Shmuel the one that tells me that whatever the law of the land is binding, because Shittos Rishonim as to why it's binding? Some say that it's binding because the king is the one that owns the land, and therefore he says, you live in my land, you follow my rules. He has the right to make up the rules because he really owns the entire country. Others say that Din Malchus Din is sort of an agreement among the people themselves, as opposed to being imposed by the king. It's just everyone understands that these are the rules that we're going to play by. Others suggest, I think Dvar Avram is a big piece on Din Malchus Adina. I think Dvar Avram writes that Din Malchus Adina is part of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, meaning that in the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, there's a requirement that they have dinim. So what are we going to do? We're going to say, you have to have dinim, so that we won't follow them. Well, that's not fair, meaning that we're going to require that all the Gayim are going to have to make dinim, and then we're just going to ignore all those dinim? So it must be that part of the requirement in the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach that they make dinim is that we have to then abide by those dinim. So obviously there are limitations on dinim malchus dinim. It doesn't apply to Jewish ritual law, right? We don't say that if someone has a civil divorce, that counts as a get, right? Meaning dinim malchus dinim applies to monetary law. It applies bein Yisrael l'nachri, not bein Yisrael l'Yisrael. There's what to discuss. If it's Yisrael and Yisrael operating within a nachri marketplace, then it could be the assumptions are all dinim malchus dinim assumptions. And whenever there's an assumption or a tenai made between two Jewish people, so then you'd probably follow those dinim. Wherever we have dinim malchus dinim in Shas, you see on the side of the page, it quotes the other places you have in Shas, it's always Shmuel. Shmuel's the one that says, so it's very interesting, because we don't find anyone that argues, but it's always only Shmuel that says it. So it could be that we're just trying to give credit to the Baal Meimra, but it doesn't seem that it's something that was really a machlokas. Umalka amar lalikni ara elabi garta. The king says, you only kona the karka with a shtar mechira. So how can the second by second this other guy come in and be kona without a shtar? Minadin, you can from the dina de malchusa, you need a shtar. So how could Shmuel say that the second guy could just come in and make a chazaka? So later, Rav Yosef said back to Abai, ano lo yadana. I don't know how to answer your questions in Stiras and Shmuel, but I'll tell you what. Uvda havet. There was a maisa that happened. Bedura deravasa. In the place called Dura deravasa. Beisrael de Zavanara. The story was a Jew had purchased karka me'ovid chavim from a guy, and he did not yet get his shtar for the purchase. Vasi Yisrael achrina rafik baporta. And another Jew came and did a little kinyan chazaka. He did a little digging. Asal kamed Rav Yehuda, and they came to Rav Yehuda, who was adjudicating the case, and most of what Rav Yehuda said throughout Shas, you always have Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, right? Everything Rav Yehuda said was always from Shmuel, and Ukma biyada d'sheni, and Rav Yehuda, this great Talmud of Shmuel, is let this second guy who came in and dug a little keep the karka. So you see that Shmuel holds that the second guy is machzik in the karka, that he's the one that is the owner of the karka, because the one who intended to purchase it didn't have a shtar. So Amalei Abai said back to Rav Yosef, Dura Duravasa Kamrat. From that Maisa of Dura Duravasa, you want to bring a Raya? Hasam Bagi Mitamri Havu. Over there, they had hidden fields, meaning the Bailim would hide themselves. Dinugu Failu of Yavi Taskal the Malka. The Bali Asada themselves would never pay the taxes, for they were never paying the real estate taxes. Umalka Amar, Mandi Yav Taskal, Lechal Ara. And the Din of Malchus over there is whoever's willing to pay the real estate taxes is able to benefit from that land. So he's the only real owner of the land. So the Bailim never had the koach to sell that land to other people. So the second guy who came and was machzik in the karka, the malchus was that, meaning it's good for the din of the malchusa that allows that second guy to be koach of the karka. So granted, there's a din of the malchusa that you're only koach of the karka when you make a when you have a shtar, but there's another din of the malchusa that you're only the real owner if you're willing to pay the real estate taxes on the land. And clearly, the previous owner in this location that we're talking about never paid real estate taxes, and if he never paid real estate taxes, he's not the real owner of that land and never had the right to sell it, and that's why the sale is invalid, and that's why the guy who came along afterwards and decided to make the kinyan is in fact going to be the true owner of that land. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll pick up with Rav Huna Zavin Arav Chavim tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful day.